99. Let's stand together. Thank you. Wonderful testimonies, bragging on the Lord. And you say, preacher, I was going to do that. Well, you should have been more on the ball. Amen. Amen. Psalm 99. And let's read this psalm. It's only 9 verses, and we've been meditating on it since the weekend. And we'll just give you some thoughts and see what the Lord do. My intention is to preach all of it, but y'all know the percentages of the chance of that happening. And so we'll just do the best we can. The Lord reigneth, verse 1 begins. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The King's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinances that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. You can be seated tonight. Let's pray real quickly. We'll ask God to help us and trust that He'll do so. Heavenly Father, in the name, that lovely name, saving name, high and uplifted name of the Lord Jesus, we do come before You, Lord, tonight asking that You'd help us. Lord, You know what, Lord, this congregation and our church needs tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd be good to send it this evening. Help us to magnify the Word of God. Lord, it's already been testified about, Lord, the Lord Jesus and His saving power, the Lord exaltation tonight of the Spirit of God and His comfort, and Lord, His work of magnifying Jesus in our heart. I pray that You do that tonight. Lord, I pray as we try to magnify the God that hears and answers prayer. Lord, that's already been spoke of tonight. Lord, seem like, Lord, all these testimonies kind of fit in with the theme of the message and the truths You've laid upon our heart, Lord, from this very psalm. And so I pray, have Thy will and way this evening. Lord, anybody in our midst that's lost and undone on this midweek service, this needing saving, Lord, I pray that You do a work for them this evening. Lord, as Christ is magnified from the pages of Holy Writ, I pray their heart would be tendered and broken, and their eyes and their faith set upon the Lord Jesus. And all that You do, Lord, we'll thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Psalm 99, we've read these 9 verses tonight. And in our study of it in recent days, this psalm is likely another prophetical psalm penned by that of the hand of David. No doubt, as we read these 9 verses, they are describing the Lord Jesus in His coming earthly kingdom. In fact, in our study of the Psalms, we understand we're kind of in a section. In fact, Psalm 99, we want to emphasize this thought, brings us to an end of a particular section in the Psalms, back-to-back Psalms that are magnifying Christ in His kingly authority. They're magnifying the fact that He is sovereign, and the fact that He is Lord, and the fact that He is King, and the fact and He's in control of everything, and as such is worthy to be worshipped and is due to be given praise unto His name. And all of that is going to come to a head in a pinnacle in His coming earthly kingdom. But no doubt there are things that this psalm speaks to us about tonight as the church of the living God, that we're ahead of that coming time. And have acknowledged that He is Lord, that He is King, and that He rules and reigns, There's something on the inside of us, no doubt by the Spirit of God, that Brother Tim testified of a moment ago, that yearns to and longs to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. Not just in the time of the coming kingdom, but, amen, in our hearts as the church of the living God in this, amen, appointed time and hour tonight. He's worthy tonight of everything he's going to receive in that wondrous tide, amen, of his kingdom that is to come. And Psalm 99 was called by Spurgeon, and we quote from him a lot. Amen, he's just the prince of preachers and penned a lot of things about the Psalms. But he said about Psalm 99, he referenced and called it to be the sanctest psalm, the sanctest psalm. And he referenced that because of the threefold emphatic statements of the holiness of God that we read about as we read these nine verses. In verse number 3, referencing the great and the terrible name of the Lord, he said, "For it is holy." He said in verse number 5, "Amen, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." And he ends his psalm in verse number 9 and said simply, "For the Lord our God is holy." And so Spurgeon said, in seeing the emphatic statements that are being made, he said, "This is the sanctest psalm. This is the psalm that sanctifies the Lord our God, magnifying his holiness." And we think about this psalm in each of these nine verses with that in mind. Amen. We could say he's holy in his ruling, verses 1 through 3. He's holy in his judgments, verses 4 and 5. And verses 6 down through the end of the psalm, we find, amen, that he is holy in his working. Amen. Everything God has ever judged, everything God has ever ruled over, everything God has ever worked out, amen, if you're going to attach any kind of statement to it or word to it, amen, we would just simply say it is holy, for our God is holy. And we can use this psalm tonight to preach about the holiness of God. And no doubt the way the Lord's put it in our heart, we will. Amen. For if you're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't wander far from declaring him, amen, to be holy, holy, holy. Amen. This psalm describes one author that I read after to do our psalm study. He quoted another author I am not familiar with, but he quoted that author saying that author seen in this psalm, and I seen it when I read it. Amen. That verses 1 through 3, this psalm describes the Lord who is to come. Verses 4 and 5, the Lord who is. And verses 6 through 9, the Lord who was. Do you understand tonight that the only one we could be speaking about tonight, who is the one who was, who is, and is to come, amen, testified of himself, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is his testimony, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. Amen, the one who is faithful yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, who rules, my friend, in the days of the past, and rules now in the moment, and ever shall rule as Lord and as God. Amen. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Allah claims to have begun to rule at some point in some time. Amen. In one of these days, he'll cease to be any longer. Amen. The gods of this world have a beginning and an end. Amen. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who was, who is, and thank God is to come and evermore shall be. Amen. Everything in days to come that he always has been. Amen. And so I see a magnifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this psalm, in these matters. Psalm 99. Let me give you this to kind of get to the thought the Lord laid on my heart. Amen. In Psalm 99, we find that this is the last in this section that and seemed to be dedicated to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. They are Psalms that, amen, Psalm 93 through 99 in our study, amen, that they just magnify Christ in His Lordship. May I say tonight, He is Lord again, always has been and always will be. Amen. There's nothing the world can do about it. Nothing the devil can do about it. Amen. There's nothing, my friend, that is going to change that fact. Amen. That Jesus is Lord. He's Lord alone. He's Lord Almighty. And thank God He's Lord always. And what a Lord that He is. Amen. And so we're coming to the close in this particular section. In the Psalms that, amen, had a very, very special place in the heart of the Hebrew people. In this psalm, we find that, amen, it's a closing psalm in that section, just to remind us one more time, amen, that Jesus is Lord. It is the last of three psalms spread out through this section. That begins with the statement and the declaration, "The Lord reigneth." We read this when we began this section of Psalms in Psalm 93. Amen. If you want to just look there, cross a page or back a page or two. Amen. It began, "The Lord reigneth." And we read about all sorts of things between Psalm 93 and the end of Psalm 96. The wicked are arising up and the storm waves are crashing in. Amen. There's all sorts of things that are going on. But, amen, the psalmist has made the declaration, "The Lord reigneth." Amen. We come to Psalm 97 and it's like David said, "Let me tell you one more time. Amen, the Lord reigneth." Amen. No matter what all I've written about and what all I've told you we've experienced, amen, he said, "I want to tell you one more time, the Lord reigneth." In Psalm 97 and Psalm 98, amen, we find revelations of the Lord and we're drawing that. Amen. In these Psalms, they are end time prophecy. Amen. What we know from prophecy is that we get closer to the Lord coming back and the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, coming back to this earth and setting up His kingdom and setting up, amen, upon His throne. We know that things are going to get increasingly worse. Amen. We know that, my friend, all that the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, wrote about the end times, sin of being at an all-time height. Amen. Wickedness will run rampant in the street. Amen. And this world's going to be in a chaotic mess with, amen, all sorts of natural disasters governed by the hand of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That are going to speed His, amen, His second coming into reality. Amen. And so the world in the end days, amen, are going to melt and they're going to, my friend, be disheartened and they're going to be discouraged. Amen. In the middle of all that, David said in Psalm 97, amen, ye that love the Lord, hate evil, and reminds us the Lord is preserving His own. That, amen, none of these things, though we're going to face these things, none of these things are, amen, going to bring us down. We've not been appointed to wrath, but thank God to obtain salvation, amen, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the psalmist David, amen, says again in Psalm 97, "Let me remind you, the Lord reigneth." Amen. No matter what comes our way before the Lord comes back, amen, you always remember it is the Lord that reigneth. And now tonight, as I pondered this week, prayed over this psalm, it had a deliverance to us. Amen. I thought, you know, here's the last psalm in this section. Amen. That is dealing with the Lord coming back and the end times. and all that is going to happen, it's going to get worse. I believe we're living in that generation that is seeing that take place right before our beloved eyes. Hey man, things are worse than they've ever been. And it seems like day by day it gets worse and it gets worse. It seems like, my friend, hey man, it's going to mount up and swallow all of us up. Hey man, it sometimes feels hopeless and sometimes, hey man, feels like there's no way of escape. And sometimes it touches us, our very soul. Amen. But right here in the last psalm, David says one more time, amen, I want to tell you, the Lord reigneth. Amen. It's almost like David is saying, amen, child of God, he's still on the throne. Amen, he's still on the throne. As we navigate all these troubled waters, as we make our way through this world in all its mess, amen, don't lose sight of the fact that the Lord is still on his throne. And so I want to use that old statement of the old timers tonight, amen, and preach to you out of Psalm 99, amen, on the thought the Lord is still on the throne. Amen, is on the throne in Psalm 93. Is on the throne in the middle of all the mess in Psalm 97. Amen. And right before the Lord comes back, amen, can I say he'll still be on his throne? Amen. That feels good right there. Amen. I'm glad in these days of uncertain times, amen, days of danger and perilousness, amen, the child of God does have a hope in the midst, amen, of all the hopelessness, amen. We do have a comfort, Brother Tim, in the midst of all the chaos, amen, and that is the Lord is still on his throne. Amen, if you let me encourage you tonight, amen, we'll settle in upon that thought and center this psalm around, amen, the Lordship of Christ. Amen, he's still on the throne. The waves have not knocked him off. Amen, the storm has not scared him and terrified him. Amen, caused him to be afraid and affrighted to, amen, fulfill his will. Amen, the wicked and the ungodly, as much as they may rage, amen, they still have yet to knock him off his throne. Amen, if there's any truth we need to get a hold of in these days, amen, it is that the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, amen, let me give you a few things here this evening. Amen, we'll go as long as our voice will hold up and the Holy Ghost will let us. Amen, but let me say a word tonight, amen, about the perception of his lordship. Amen, if we're going to tap into the truth and the comfort and the hope and the help, amen, of the fact that the Lord is still on the throne, that, amen, it would appear to me that, amen, there's going to have to be something in our perception about that truth. Amen, in fact, I think we could say this psalm begins with, amen, the declaration for people to turn, amen, to heaven and see the Lord still upon his throne. Amen, the declaration is simply this, the Lord reigneth. Amen, well, what has David said? Amen, he's saying you got to get your eyes off all of this and turn your eyes toward heavenward. Amen, then take in the perception. Amen, view things from a heavenly viewpoint. Amen, view things with a spiritual eye. Amen, view things with, amen, a Holy Ghost perception. Amen, and if you'll do that, you'll be able to see tonight, amen, that Jesus is indeed reigning. Amen, oh, I hope you can see it tonight. Amen, I hope that the storms in this world have not clouded your judgment. I pray tonight that the devil and the god of this world, has not blinded your eyes to this doctrinal truth. Amen. Oh, if that's the case, may we pray, amen, that God would help us see it again, that the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. I'm glad tonight, amen, CNN, oh, they can talk about how bad it is. Amen. Fox News can depress you out of your ever-loving mind. Amen. But I'm glad I can go to the Word of God. I'm glad I can get in the place of prayer. I'm glad I can look up tonight and look around tonight. Amen. And know that the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. What a blessed perception we have tonight. Amen. You said, preacher, amen, it seems like this world is, amen, is failing to see what you're preaching about tonight. Amen. I ain't talking about the world. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me and my family and your family and our church. Amen. Not viewing things like the world does. Amen. But having a spiritual eye, they can perceive the Lord still on the throne. Amen. Amen. Let me give you some things about, amen, about this matter of perception. Amen. The perception of His Lordship tonight. Amen. If you could see that, if, amen, if we can really take that in, that, amen, it's going to do something to us. Amen. In fact, it's going to do at least three things to us tonight. Amen. And maybe we could use these things to gauge just how perceptive we are to this truth tonight. Amen. Maybe it'll reveal our own need of revival in this matter. And maybe it'll reveal, my friend, amen, that maybe we're not seeing it as clear as, amen, we may be one others think we are. Number one, amen, I wrote it down this way, this perception. Amen, it should, number one, stir us. Amen. If you could see tonight, amen, that the Lord reigneth and that He's still on the throne, amen, that ought to stir every child of God in this place. Amen. For the psalmist said, the Lord reigneth. And then notice what he said, let the people tremble. The Bible said He sitteth between the cherubims, and He's referencing that Holy of Holies and the ark upon which God said His presence would rest for the children of God. Amen. And in light of that, He said, let the earth be moved. And so I'm interested for a moment on the word tremble and the word move. I'm talking about, amen, if you can really tonight see the Lord is still on the throne, amen, that thought ought to stir us this evening. The word tremble means to disturb, amen, to rouse up or to provoke. Amen, if the Lord, if you can see the Lord tonight as still being on the throne and still reigning, amen, it ought to provoke you tonight. Amen, it ought to rouse you and I up to, amen, serve the Lord. Amen, to love the Lord and adore the Lord. Amen, it ought to stir us tonight to see the Lord is still on the throne. And then the word move is an interesting word, Brother Riley. Amen, it literally means, you look it up in the Webster's, here's what you find. Amen, that word moved, it means to excite into action and from a state of rest. Amen, to excite into action and from a state of rest. Amen, buddy, I'm telling you, in these days, I think we've got too comfortable in this world. Amen, and we're not stirred by the thought that the Lord is still on the throne. David said, if you can see it how I've seen it, amen, it would excite you, it would, amen, it would provoke you and rouse you. Amen, if you can see that, you'd be able to feel that, amen, and it would do something to your spiritual life. Amen. Boy, I'm moved tonight. Amen. I am stirred tonight. Amen. I've been stirred all this week. Amen. The things the Lord has done and the prayers and the Lord is answering it, and the way that I see God moving moves me. Amen. You see, the fact He's still on the throne means that, amen, He's moving, He's working. We'll see that in a moment. But, amen, He's active in our life. He's among the congregation. Amen. And oh, if we could perceive tonight, amen, His Lordship and Him being on the throne. Amen. I believe that ought to stir us. It ought to excite us. Amen. It ought to move us to want to be faithful unto our Lord. Amen. It stirs me tonight. Amen. What did John the Beloved say when he was in the Isle of Patmos? Amen. He said, I was in the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's day. Amen. But something about, amen, being in Patmos. Amen. But he realized the Lord was still on the throne. He got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And the Lord let Jesus get bigger and bigger and closer, amen, till Christ is laying His hand on John the Beloved. Amen. How did all that happen? He got an eye, amen, to be able to perceive that, amen, no matter what was going on in his life, that Jesus was still on the throne. It stirred him and got him filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Let me ask us tonight, what is it that stirs us? What is it that excites us? Amen. There's some things in this world that, amen, they crank my motor. Are you listening? Amen. There's things in this world that, amen, I enjoy, and I believe God's give us things to enjoy in this life. Amen. Things that stir our passion and things that, amen, move us in this life. And I'm thankful for those things. I'm thankful for some of those relationships. I'm thankful for, amen, those enjoyments that God has give us to move us. There ain't nothing moves me more than to know tonight the Lord's still on the throne. Amen. There's a peace in that I ain't ever found on a bass boat. There's a peace in that thought I ain't ever found in a deer stand there. Amen. There's a peace in, amen, that I, being able to see the Lord is still on the throne. That, amen, I ain't ever found that in a paycheck. That, I ain't ever found that in that friend, even with my family. That, amen, that thought that Jesus is still on the throne. Has that stir you tonight? Does that do anything to you tonight? Amen. Does that move you spiritually? Amen. Does that move you toward Him? Does that move you further from this world? Does that move you to want to try to find something more to do for Him than you've ever done in your life, to realize that the Lord is still on the throne? David said that perception ought to stir us. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm enjoying trying to preach this. Amen. Let me give you number two here, that this perception of the Lord still being on the throne not only ought to stir us, but bear with me a minute and I'll bring it all out at verse number two. Number two, it ought to size us. It not only ought to stir us, but it ought to size us. You say, what in the world do you mean? Look at verse number two again. The Lord is great. Amen. You say, what's that word great mean? It means really, really, really big. Amen. Mega big. Supersized. Amen. The Lord is great. He did not say David was great. He did not say Israel was great. He did not brag on Zion and Jerusalem. Amen. He did not brag on, amen, the children of Israel being great. Oh no, friend, when he got talking about who was great and what was great, hey man, he just simply had to say, I tell you, the Lord is great. The Lord is great. Amen. And in light of the Lord being great and saying, notice, he is high above all the people. Amen. He's big and he's high. Amen. And, amen. Can I just say it like this? Amen. If you could ever really see the Lord still on the throne, amen, you'll walk away saying the Lord's great and I ain't. Amen. The Lord is, amen, big and I am small. Amen. He is high and I am lowly. He's the one that's above. I'm the one that's below. Amen. You know, amen. Now I don't want to get mean tonight. It's Wednesday. I want to help us now. Amen. But can a rat on a cage get on a pet peeve for a moment? Amen. You know one of the ways I can tell, amen, whether or not somebody is perceiving the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. You just listen to how they talk about themselves. Amen. If they're trying to convince me how big they are, how great they are, how spiritual they are, how sold out they are, how wonderful they are, hey, time out now. It's evidence they do not have an eye to see the Lord still on the throne. Amen, because if you see him on the throne, amen, it won't be, boy, Calvary is great. Our church is great. Our musicians are great. Our preacher is great. Oh no, friend, if we can really, truly say that the Lord reigneth and he's still on the throne, we'll say they ain't but one that's great. And all of us have to take our rightful place underneath him. Amen, amen. All the comparing of ourselves with one another. Amen, within tonight, if we could see the Lord on the throne. Amen, all the big eyes and the little U's. Amen, would be knocked out of our stuffing. Amen, if we could just somehow see that the Lord is still on the throne. Amen, listen, if you're the big shot. Amen, if you're the great one, you have need to fear tonight. Amen. But if you can see he's still on the throne and then he's the great one, you can rest. And no matter how small we are, no matter how insignificant and lonely we really are, amen, just so he is great. Amen. Everything's going to be all right. What did the psalmist David say? What is man that thou art mindful of him? I tell you tonight, amen, you may be the smartest, you may be the strongest, you may even be the most spiritual among us tonight. Amen, but at the end of the day, when that sun goes down in about an hour and a half, amen, and darkness settles in, amen, I don't care how strong and smart and spiritual we may be, amen, we'll still be man, amen, we'll still have to bow before his throne, and say the ground is level around here, on my best day I deserve hell, on my best day I'm a nothing and a nobody, and deserve nothing. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if we can really perceive the Lord still on the throne, it would size us. We'd get smaller, not bigger. Amen. I believe that's good preaching. Amen. Can you see him tonight? Amen. Can you take him in tonight? Amen. Can you follow the eyes of David looking heavenward? Amen. And see that, amen, he's still on the throne and he still reigns. And he's great. And ought to move us. It ought to stir us. Amen. It ought to size us tonight. Amen. Let me read it to you how the Lord give it to me to write it down. Amen. I wrote this down even this afternoon that a proper perception of the Lord's greatness will result in the right perception of ourselves as small. The right perception of the Lord's greatness will always result in the right perception of myself as being small. When you see yourself small in the eyes of His greatness, then really it doesn't matter how we stack up and size up to one another. Amen. We'll tell you why some people can't see the Lord still on the throne. They see themselves as being greater than we are. Oh, somebody help me now. It ought to stir us and it ought to size us. Amen. Dear God, I ain't going to get out of verse number 3 tonight if we don't hurry on. Amen. Let me say tonight, amen, the perception of His Lordship, it ought to stir us and size us. Amen. But in verse number 3, I wrote it down this way, it ought to summon us. Amen. It ought to summon us. Notice what David said. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name. That word terrible there, that doesn't mean awful or, amen, bad. That's that old English word that it means wonderful. His great and wonderful name. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean, summon us? Amen. David is saying, if you can see Him how I saw it. Amen. If you can see Him how we all ought to see Him today. Amen. Introduce something to your heart, not only to stir you and it assays you, but, amen, all of a sudden there's something on the inside that begins to be summoned to praise the One who is worthy. Amen. You see the response to seeing the Lord still on the throne. And the testimony of His holy name is a summons to praise Him.
Amen.
This world and this generation of Christianity, there's very, very little real true praise of God going on in our day. Now listen, I know that we all get weary and we all have times of discouragement. I understand that. Amen. And I'm not preaching against having those seasons. Amen. That's part of our humanity and it's part of the world we live in.
Amen.
But some of us, it ain't seasons. It's the makeup of our whole entire Christianity. Ain't nothing wrong with having a day or two or a week or two, and sometimes, amen, we go through maybe longer seasons, but dear God, it ought not be the last 5, 10, 20 years of our Christian life. Amen. Amen. Them old timers, they had bad days. Them old timers, they had days where it hit 100 degrees outside too. Amen. They had family troubles. They had church troubles. Amen. Had to pray bread on the table. Amen. Biscuits in the oven. Amen. They had to go through unemployment. Amen. Trying to better their way through life. Amen. But there's a time. There's a time. Christianity in America. Amen. They'd come in, buddy, and they'd be shouting and praising God. Amen. Stirred up and testifying. Amen. They'd get blessed and just lift their hands and shed their tears. Amen. Had to say a word about, amen, the One who's still on the throne in their life. Amen. Why? Because they lived their life with that truth in view.
Amen.
Amen. And there's very little of that that takes place in our day. Amen. We got to beg for it. We got to entertain folk for it. Amen. And because yet, amen, folk have lost that perception and that view. The average church in their day, and not us, will, amen, I'd just soon be dead as try to, amen, find some carnal means to replace what the real thing is. Amen. We just sit around here and stare at the walls. Amen. Before we get fog machines and strobe lights and praise bands, somebody say amen. Why is the church, why has it relegated itself to, amen, such carnal means of entertainment and fleshly appeal. Amen. It's because God's people have lost sight. The Lord's still on the throne. Amen. If you get an eye for that, amen, you don't need fog machines. You don't need a drummer, long hair, hippie, dope smoking, sodomite drummer, amen, to be bopping and banging around to get something summoned up out of you. Somebody help me now. Amen. And you say, we don't do none of that around here. I'm a preaching it so we'll understand it ain't a coming around here. Amen. We just need to look and perceive that a Lord's still on the throne. That has summoned something up out of you. Amen. When's the last time you just cut loose praising God? I know, look, we don't everybody do it. How I do it, I don't do it. Amen. How other people do it. Amen. You ain't got to do it how Sissy Ivy does it. Just don't criticize how she does it. Amen. You ain't got to do it like that. But when's the last time you praise God? When's the last time you had a fit? Church is as good a place as anywhere to do it. Amen. But don't just do it at church if you ain't going to do it on a motorcycle, praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Every now and then, God's people ought to get so stirred and sad that they get summoned that says, you know what? He is still on the throne. I can praise over that. Yeah, I may have prayers that need answered. I may have needs that need met. I may have problems in my family. But, amen, if I can just somehow see the Lord still on the throne, that ought to... And on to summon some praise up out of us every now and then. Amen. Amen. I'm by no means the standard. I'm by no means the standard at all. I mean, amen, far from it. Amen. That Bible's the standard. There's some things I've been praying for, trusting God. Amen. Believing He's still on the throne and can do it. I woke up yesterday morning at 5 a.m. Amen, a text message and I ain't gonna give none of the details. Ain't none of your business. It's between me and that individual and the Lord. But in that text message, there's a bunch of answers to prayers I've been praying. And at 5:15 a.m, I got to weeping and shouting. Jumping up and down. Amen. 5:15 a.m. You say you can't praise God at 5:15 a.m. You can if you, amen, can see in a moment of time He's still on the throne. Amen. I was out of town. Me and Sam was out of town. 5:15 a.m. He's sleeping in one bed and I was over there shouting. I got jumping on his bed. Amen. He woke up dying laughing. What in the world's wrong with you? Amen. See, I'm just happy and praising God. Amen. Are y'all listening? Amen. When's the last time you had something summing up out of you? Amen. Amen. You say, I ain't never had that. Oh, dear God, look to heaven. He's on the throne. He's reigning. He's still there. He's got it all under control. Amen. That'll summon something up out of you every now and then. I ain't preaching about all that to say I'm the standard, Brother Mike. God knows my heart. Amen. Somebody say, well, I'll get up 5:15 a.m. tomorrow. I'll do what? That ain't what I'm preaching. I've done it in the noonday. I've done it around church. Amen. I love when God just seems to peel the heavens back and you see it like you saw it for the very first time all over again. Brother Mark, all of a sudden something on the inside bears witness of what the Holy Ghost lets you perceive. And you go, whoa, hallelujah. Bless His holy name. Glory, hallelujah. He's still got her all under control. Amen. 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 It ought to stir us. It ought to size us. And it ought to summon us. Well, that's just the first point. And it's after 8 o'clock. Amen. Y'all reckon we need to unhook and pick back up some other time? Amen. I wanted to say a word about the perfection of His Lordship. Amen. You do understand He's the holy, holy, holy one in this song. Amen. You know what David said? He reigns and He's reigning perfectly. Amen. Amen. You'll find that in verse number 4, the perfection of His Word. I think we heard something about that tonight. Hey, the perfection of His waiting.
Amen.
He said there in verse number 4, He said, Thou dost establish equity. Now we got on equity in Psalm 98. That was so long ago, y'all. Amen. Y'all may or may not remember, but equity means evenness. It is. Equity is God righting all the wrongs. But David said in this psalm, yeah, the Lord reigneth. And he makes a declaration about what the Lord is doing in His ruling and reigning. He said, Thou dost establish equity. That word establish, you go home and you study it out. Amen. Here's what you'll find. Amen. That this statement implies is that God has appointed a time to fix the injustices in the world.
Amen.
Sometimes we wonder, God, why don't you do something now? God, why don't you whip them now? God, why don't you bring them down now? Lord, I have been done wrong, and the church has been done wrong. And listen, amen, if you can see the Lord is still on the throne, it will remind you that the Lord is absolutely perfect in His waiting.
Amen.
He has a time appointed. If the Lord done it when and how I thought it ought to be done, it would be done imperfectly. And if God done it how and when you thought it ought to be done, because we are imperfect beings. Y'all remember in Psalm 98, I told y'all this talk in our day about equity, equity, equity. Everybody wants equity. Equity brought between men and women. Because women have been so oppressed and so obliterated in America the last 250 years. Number one, that's rubbish and hogwash. Amen. Women got it better in America than they do 90% of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, they talk about equity. And what they're saying is all their perceived injustices, they need equity brought to it. And so how they're going to do that is they're going to bring an injustice against men to try to make right a past perceived injustice on women. And so you got greater injustices, and so it's an imperfect equity. Racial equity. You're hearing a lot about that trash in this day. Amen. And I'm not saying there hadn't been injustices, but equity is not, amen, putting more injustice on others to try to fix some past injustice in another crowd. Somebody says, well, how do we work all that out then? You just see the Lord's still on the throne. And He'll deal with all the wrongs in days to come. And when He does, it'll be perfect in how He does it and when He does it. And when He does it, it probably ain't going to be how you thought it'd turn out anyway. And you know what we'll all do in that day, Brother Charlie? You know what we'll all do? We'll all get on our knee and lift our hand and say, He's Lord, that's right, that's perfect.
Amen.
Amen. You or I won't pooch our lip and go, well, He didn't do it the way I thought He should. Oh, no. Why? Because He's perfect in His Word. He's perfect in His waiting. He's perfect in His working. Verse 4 speaks about how He does all of this in righteousness. This word righteousness is a description that lets us know whatever God does in our life is right.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to listen to me. Now I'm done. I'm done. I've got two more points. We'll get to it. Amen. We already knew them percentages weren't good. We'd make it through all nine verses. Amen. But I want you to listen to me tonight. God is righteous in your life. The fact that He is still on the throne, all He can ever do and work in our life is righteousness. Now I'm gonna blow your socks off. When God lifted the heads off of Job and let the devil touch and take everything Job had, including his children, God was right. So how can you believe that? Can believe it the same way Job believed it in the minute of all of that. They didn't barely get the dirt thrown over on his children's grave, and Job sat down and said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." God is always right.
Amen.
Even when the devil and men do wrong, God will always be right.
Amen.
And that thought, when you can see the perfection of His Lordship, it'll keep you from a lot of bitterness in this world. And it'll keep a little bit of sanity in your mind when you're looking around going, "What in the world is people doing?" You got to look to heaven and say, "I don't know about all this, but I know He only does what is right."
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Well, we got what we get. We get two of them. We only got two of them, didn't we? Amen. Perfection and perception. Amen. I want to look at the preeminence of His Lordship. Boy, God, give me something, verse 5 and verse number 9. Amen. And then I want to look at the proof. The proof. You know what I love, Brother Tim, about Psalm 99? David gave some evidences that the Lord has always been on the throne and is still on the throne.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll show you those proofs, and it's blessed me. I think it'll bless you, Gerald. But I know it blessed me and helped me. Amen. I'm glad I got some proofs.
Amen.
I can say, yeah, He's still on. When the world says, "How do you know?" I got some things, Brother A.L., I can pull out of my pocket and say, "Here it is.
Amen.
Here's the proofs." Amen. And that still won't satisfy the world. They'd never understand it. No way. Amen. A lot of carnal of God's children, they don't understand the proofs either. But it's still evidences.
Amen. Amen.